You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right, let's go to the Word of God here. We've been talking about faith, family, and finances. This is what, part three, and we'll just continue. A lot of times I'll try to rush everything in within one month, and then... But there's some things, and I've been really studying because I said, God, I said, now you gave me an assignment to raise up millionaires. That's part of my assignment. Okay, don't get, if I had the gift of healing, the Lord would have given me, and he does use me in the gift of healing, but that's not, something I operate in every week. But then I believe that it was definitely be the will of God that I get more folks healed than the average folks. Amen. Well, one of the gifts that's on my life, there's anointing of prosperity is on my life. And I agree with all the people who hate on preachers and say stuff like, that preacher rich and other people, and everybody in the church broke and poor, and they hate on preachers who sit, and I agree with them. Amen. I agree with them. I don't believe it's right for the preacher to be rich and got rich and everybody in his church broke and poor. Something's missing. Because if it worked for me, it ought to work for you. Come on now. So I ain't going to defend against that. I agree with you. Okay. And I thank God this ain't that church. I said this ain't that church. Because I believe, I don't care where you come into this church, if you get a hold of this word and connect with this ministry the way God wants you to be connected, you are on your way up in every area of your life. But right now I'm talking about finances. I believe you're on your way up. I think things are going to get better. I think things are going to turn around. This confession we make every week is not just cliche. That's going to be manifest in your life. Your needs will be met. You will be out of debt. You will have plenty more to put in store. You can live an above average life. And listen, and you can live a first class life at second class price. Say that with me. Say, I live a first class life at second class price. And the reason why you're able to do that, because the favor of God kicks in. When the favor of God kicks in, you get upgrades you don't have to pay for. Hallelujah. When I fly now, for the most part, in some kind of way, and I get upgrades and I fly, generally speaking, with rare exception, we get upgrades to first class. But that's because I've earned that from having a certain status. And then when my status don't quite meet that, they give me an opportunity to buy up to it. Okay, so I can have more of a preference, and they just gave me opportunity to buy up, and I was trying to figure out what was this charge on one of my cards, and it was $1,100 that I did to buy up to that next level. Okay, but so now when they ain't really doing me a favor when I fly first class, now I done paid for it. Okay, but when I used to fly first class, the first time I flew first class, it was just a favor upgrade. I was just sitting back in the coach looking up there and see, they nicer to folks back then now. They used to shut that curtain like, mind your business. Like, you're like wondering what's going on up in there while you eating your peanuts. look like a squirrel. They there cutting stuff. That's how it used to be. But now, and they used to tell the people in coach, that, because first class would really be first class. They tell the people in coach, if you have to use the restroom, your lavatory's in the back. Even if the first three rows was first class and you sit in the fourth row, they would tell you, you can't go through. They would stop you. Okay, so first class, really first class. And so I was sitting back there and I was just envying. I was just like, what? Oh, that sure must be nice up in there. And I'm sitting there minding my business. And a man walking down the aisle, he's looking. He says, sir, would you want to come up first class? I said, sure. I grabbed my stuff. And I went up there. I said, hey, this is how you doing? And y'all, and some of y'all are going to be too young to remember this. But I said, please pass the gray poupon. Yes, sir. So that. I watched it, first class life, second class price. I didn't pay for it. That was the favor of God. People call it just luck. No, ain't no luck in the kingdom of God. You walk in the favor of God. Amen. Amen. And so I believe that it's the will of God for us to increase. And let me lay this foundation again, that faith begins where the will of God is known. Say that with me. Now, we have several people. They may not be here tonight, but we have several, you know, people in our church now who are 80 and 80 plus. Any of y'all here tonight? Any of our older members here tonight? Okay, here's one right here. Any others? Okay, but we have some in our noon service, and then some of our older members. Some of them are still driving. They just don't want to drive at night. And I ain't mad at them. I understand. Start looking a little funny to me too. I be speak pleading the blood. Glasses don't fail me now. Okay, but we have people in our church who are 80 plus. Now, when I was growing up in the church, they said all the preachers told us that the man's years shall be 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. Quoting a psalm, okay? And that psalm, when you study the context of that psalm, that was Moses praying, complaining to God that the children of Israel were dying off in the wilderness. He said, and they're only living to be 70 years old, and for them who are exceptionally strong, maybe 80, okay? But that was the curse. That was because they had disobeyed God. That's why they were dying, only living to 80 years. But God originally said, even after man sinned in Genesis, he said that man's, my spirit will not always strive with man, but his days shall be 120 years on the earth. Everybody say 120. Now watch this here. Some people say, well, I don't know people live that long, and I ain't sure if I want to live long. But it surely give you something to aspire to, don't it? Now here's the thing. See, if you're thinking that all your years are supposed to be is 80, now you get to 80, now you start panicking. Lord, any day now. Oh, Lord, I'm on borrowed time now. Oh, Lord, just be careful. You look scared. You might slip on something because, you know, man only supposed to live 80 years old. But once you hear what the word of God said, now you got faith to believe at a higher level. You follow me? So once you know that God said you can have this, now you can exercise faith for it. That's why I say faith begins where the will of God is known. So the reason why we're going through this, because I really want you to know, first and foremost, it is the will of God for you to be rich. Amen. Let me try this section. It's the will of God for you to be rich. Amen. Try over here to these young folks here. It's the will of God for you to be rich. Amen. Amen. Did Sister Jackson, did you hear me? I'm talking to the young folks. Did you hear me? All right, praise the Lord. It's the will of God. It's the will of God for you to be rich. And when we say rich, we mean having more than enough. Not just scrapping, okay, and struggling. Struggling is a few steps below struggling, okay? It's the will of God for you to have more than enough. And I want you to see this and know this, and you don't have to make any apologies about God blessing you and prospering you. You understand? It's a good thing. Every man to whom the Lord has given wealth and riches, it's the gift of God. You can be mad all day. It's the gift of God. People say, that's a shame to have that much money. No, it's the gift of God. That's a shame to have that kind of car. No, it's the gift of God. We have a member of our church who have a really, really kind of exclusive car. And they went to noon Bible study. The wife was at noon Bible study today. And she had an accident in that car. And it's really, really exclusive, really, really exclusive kind of car. She had an accident in that car, and I pulled up to her after afternoon Bible study. I saw her sitting driving that car. Her husband was with him. I said, your husband love you. I said, he loved you more than he loved that car. And he probably a better man than me, because I said, if you had an accident in my car like that, you wouldn't be driving that car no more. Okay. She said, it was an accident. I said, no. I said, I know, and you wouldn't have had a chance to have another one either. Okay? But it's nothing wrong with having nice things. Amen. Everyone to whom God has given wealth and riches. So I want you all to understand that. So we said, first of all, God's concerned about families. Second, we said God desires to financially increase you and your family. And then when we were last teaching on this, we started going through why God wants to financially increase you and your family. Number one, we said to establish his covenant based upon Deuteronomy 8:18, which simply means he wants to do it because he said he'll do it. Amen. He promised his people that he would bless them and increase them. Number two, we said God wants you to be prosperous and increase you financially so you can spread the gospel. It costs to spread the gospel. I said it costs to spread the gospel. Okay, we got there's some radio stations, you know, and my son told me how you got to do this, lady. He said, Dad, he said, you can't just try to sell people stuff now. He said, the way you market now, they give you free stuff first. And once you like the free stuff, now they offer you something to buy later. I said, oh, well, educate me, because, you know, that ain't the generation we came out of. You know, you had to pay for everything, okay? But I said, now, you know, so they tease you. So that's why, for example, we just recently really put a big push towards our YouTube page. Okay, now we're putting our messages out on YouTube. Okay, but if you give, what's going to happen? It'll be done. It'll be given unto you. But it takes money to spread the gospel. Amen. We're on something called Church of God in Christ Radio, which is I didn't ask to be on that. They asked to call. They called and asked, can they put me on there? And I think that's internet radio. And then every now and then we get a letter that says, we got you on the air here, and it would be what's one if you just want to give something. And I have no problem doing that because you can't do anything for free. Amen. And it's the same thing in your life. It's the same thing. So to spread the gospel, there needs to be finances behind spreading the gospel. All the people say the church ought to do this and church ought to do that and church ought to help people and church ought to pay people's rent and ought to pay people's mortgage and church ought to help people go to college and church ought to, well, who's somebody got to pay for that party? And even y'all, I keep telling y'all, even as we get ready to get in down to the throes of another campaign for the presidency, listen to all these people, all these ideas, somebody got to pay for that. It's wonderful. You can have wonderful ideas. There's no such thing as free. Somebody got to pay and to spread the gospel. Money is needed to spread the gospel. Number three, we said to be a blessing to others. And I call this two-coat ministry, right? We looked at Luke 3, 10, 11. He said, let him that hath two coats give unto him that hath none. But the concept here is that God wants you to be comfortable and then you can make somebody else comfortable too. That's the thinking behind that. Let him have two coats, get them to have none. Let him have meat, let him do likewise. Meat means food. God wants you to have enough food. Watch it that you can help somebody else. Amen. We had somebody who used to help us one time around our house, and Pastor Marcia, she's gotten better. But when God said we were in deficit for so long, when we got a little something, Pastor Marcia said, we ain't gonna never run out of nothing in this house again. We start getting everything from Sam's. I'm like, we need that much stuff, okay? But it's like she was expecting a what you call that, the apocalypse. There you go. Like, you expect the apocalypse. We were stored up on everything. So we had somebody used to help us around the house, and they would leave in the house, and they would just take stuff, put it in the bag, and just walk out the house with it. And Pastor Mark said, well, what are you doing? She said, well, you got so much. And I just thought I'd take this and do such and such with it. But you need to do what? You need to... You already know that, huh? Yeah, you need to ask. Okay, you can't just take from me just because I got Robin Hood. Amen. But God wants you to have more than enough so you can be blessed, have your needs supplied, and then still be a blessing to someone else. Amen. When they ask or when God directs you to do it. Amen. So let's move on to number four. This one here, I got to take a little time with, because the other fourth reason I'm listing why God wants to bless you financially, because he wants the world to envy us. Yes, the world ought to envy us. When you read Psalm 37 and also Psalm 73, those are easy to remember. Just invert the numbers, 33 and 37. In both of those, David is getting messed up. He's getting messed up. His head's messed up. He's getting disillusioned, living for the Lord and being faithful to God and keeping his commandments and keeping the law and all that. He said, because these sinners, they ain't doing that, none of that. And it looks like they're blessed. Looks like they're being set up. He said, here I am. He said, the one scripture says, I've cleansed my hands in innocency for naught. In other words, he was saying, look like I'm living for you and it's not paying off. He said, but those sinners over there, it was a song, so some old people remember, they're living like a fat rat. Okay, they're getting over like a fat rat. Look, those sinners over there look like they're driving better than me. They're living better than me. And God tells him, he said, don't be envious of the sinners. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. Then God says, he said, they'll soon be cut off. He said, now you're going to see and now you don't. He said, because in the New Testament, I think in 1 John, it says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, we're in this for the long haul. Come on, we're not just supposed to just have seasons of prosperity and seasons of good luck. No, we're in this for the long haul, glory to God. If we meditate on the word day and night, we'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Our leaf shall not wither. Say that. Say, my leaf shall not wither. Say it again. Say it again. And so, now, know what that scripture means? That means God will keep you productive. That means God will keep you prospering. I don't care what's going on in the world. You confess, my leaf shall not wither. Glory to God. God didn't bring us forward to take us backwards. He said, I'll increase you more and more. We're not supposed to be up and down. No, we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the will of God that things get better and better and better, and we go from glory to glory. So circumstances will change. You keep confessing the word, my leaf shall not wither. I'm going from glory to glory. Things are getting better all the time. Did y'all hear what I said? That's how I encourage myself. I don't get moved. I don't get moved by what I see and what's going on. No, no, no. Things are getting better all the time. I'm going to stay consistent with the word of God. I'm going to keep doing the word. I don't care what it looks like. If it looks like I'm going through, I will sow my way out. Oh, come on. I've done it. Haven't we done it, honey? Haven't we done it, honey? Okay. We will sow our way out. Amen. We will sow our way out. We were in one of our building projects one time. It looked like stuff was coming in slow. Looked like it wasn't happening the way we know how God has blessed us in our Pride business program. And Pastor Marcia looked at me one day. She said, have we sown a major seed? We always sow. But she said, have we sown a major seed? Because when you need big harvest, you sow big seed. Oh, I don't have to want to get started on that. Because I'm telling y'all, because some of y'all, you got these big harvest ideas, but you sow little seed. I don't say nothing because you're going to think I'm greedy and you think I'm trying. No, but you got to understand the principle. It's in the word, y'all. I ain't making this up. He that soweth sparingly reapeth how? He that soweth bountifully. Okay, so you believe in God. I'm believing God for this $1 million to come in, and here's $10, Pastor, I need you to pray over this. Nah, I ain't sure. If the seed is equivalent to the harvest you're anticipating. Well, suppose that's all I got. Well, maybe you may not be ready for the $1 million harvest. Oh, y'all don't like that. When you need big harvest, you need to sow big seed. People want big harvest and then want to sow average seed. You get average harvest. Amen. Nah, I know that one didn't go over too good. Mm-hmm. So God wants to make the world enemy of us. So look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26, there's a famine. Again, not being moved by circumstance. There's a famine. What's a famine? A famine is usually caused by drought. And as a result of drought, the ground is not producing. Flocks may be decreasing. There's no productivity. And usually if there's a famine in one area, the people, they would migrate to another area, provided there's no wall. Anyway. So they would migrate to another area, go to another country. And God tells Isaac, he said, don't you run. I know it looks like you can't prosper here, but don't make a, watch this, this is so good, this is for somebody. Don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. Don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. He said, I know that it may look like it's not going to be productive here. He said, but stay here and sow in this land. So it says Isaac sowed in that land. He sowed and stayed where God told him to sow and to stay. So verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year 100-fold. Everybody say the same year. The same year means sometimes, you know, I'm not an agriculture, I'm not a farmer, but sometimes when people sow plant that first year, they may not get all the crop, but as they go on, the ground becomes better and they get more and more crop. But Isaac that year had no crop failure. Say that with me. Say in 2019, I will have no crop failure. Everything that I sow, it will produce a bountiful 100-fold harvest. Come on, say no crop failure in 2019. And so he had no crop failure in the same year. What would take maybe years and for others, and where other people get 30, 60 fold, he got 100-fold because he obeyed God, sowed what God told him to sow, and sowed it in the place God told him to sow it. And then what happened? He said he got 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. That tells me that wasn't all the blessing. Just getting manifestation of the harvest, that wasn't all the blessing. Look at somebody, say, there's still more. He got the 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. The word blessed here, it means God empowered him to prosper. Obedience will cause you to prosper. And the Lord blessed him. He empowered him to prosper. Now what happened? Look at verse 13. And the man waxed great. That means over a process of time, things kept getting better. And he went forward and he grew until he became very great, for he had possession. Okay, let me, verse 3. First of all, verse 3 says he progressively got richer. I told you, it may not all happen at one time. Look at somebody, say, I'm getting richer right now. Hallelujah. He said, and the man waxed great. Over time, God just kept increasing him, kept increasing him. One of the things the Lord really been impressed on my mind, I keep thinking about it. The Bible says that when Abraham sent his servant to go get a wife for his son Isaac, he said, and when his servant, he said, I am Abraham's son. He said, and the Lord has blessed my master. He's old now. And the Lord has blessed him in all things. Amen. I'm telling you, you keep on living, God will bless you in all things. Hallelujah. God will bless you in all things. Now, one of the blessings of the Lord, for example, is that Psalms 112 often talks to you. When you read Psalms 112, it gives you all the characteristics of what a blessed life should look like. All the characters of what a blessed life should look like. And then it also says there, he says, and he shall see his seed. Glory to God. He said, part of being blessed is seeing your grandchildren. See, that's the area of my life now that I'm starting to see the blessing of the Lord. That wasn't supposed to be fulfilled when I was 30. Y'all aren't catching this. That scripture didn't apply for me when I was 40. I just had seed. And my seed wasn't having any seeds yet. And wasn't supposed to be having no seeds yet. Okay? But now that Pastor Marcia is getting closer up there, it's time for her to see her seed. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying over the process of time, God's word will be fulfilled in your life. And sometimes we're looking around, we're looking at somebody in a different stage of life, and you're trying to covet them. No, you're just not at that stage yet. Amen. Just keep on living and keep on being faithful to the Lord. And look, so he got greater, greater and greater. Let me put that scripture for me, verse 13, and a couple other translations for me. Put it up in the New Living Translation. Genesis 26 and 13, New Living. And the man waxed great and went forward. Okay, he became very rich. Say, I will become very rich. He became very rich and his wealth continued to grow. Oh, glory to God. That tells me even though recession came and famine came, his wealth continued to grow. Y'all aren't listening to me. See, I get excited about the word of God. Because I realize this scripture ain't talking about Isaac, it's talking about Herbert. Oh, come on now. So if God did it for Isaac, he'll do it for Herb. I don't know if he'll do it for Herbie, but he'll do it for Herb and Herbert. Amen. Put that scripture for me in the Amplified Version, if you would. And the man became great and gained more and more. He became great. He didn't start off great. Said, come on, say, I will become great. And he gained more and more until he became what? Very wealthy. Not just wealthy, but what? Very wealthy. And what? And distinguished. Glory to God. Come on, somebody say, I will be wealthy and distinguished.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Lack does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Faith, Family, and Finances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.